journey had to drop.
Morning, everybody.
Hello, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. We'll just give it another 30 seconds.
Hey, Dino, did you ever find that email in your spam?
I did not. I got this new one, though, that you just sent yesterday.
Okay. I need to figure that out then.
Yeah, because I've gotten every single invite except for that last one. That was it.
Well, not even the last one. Did you get that recap email from the following? Or the, so like, was that 3 weeks ago now?
No.
Okay. If you wouldn't mind, if you could text me your email again, you have my phone number, I think. Yeah. Text me your email again. I had a few people not get it. I don't know if it was my end or you guys. We'll try it again, and I'll actually follow up with you this time to make sure you got it.
Okay.
I expect to see the recap today, and if you don't see it today, please reach out to me because I'm not going to know if you got it or not.
Okay, perfect.
Dr. Eddie, why don't you do this? In the chat box, put your email address, right? Or your cell phone number, pardon me. And everybody put your cell phone number in there with your name, and we'll create a group text, and we'll send out, you know, because I know WJ is sending emails out because I get them. For whatever reason why they're not getting to you, if they go to your spam or whatever the hell might be. At least we'll have a group text. We could send it out just to confirm, make sure everyone knows that we're ready to roll. Sound good?
Cool. Technology, you got to love it.
Yeah, so put your cell phone number with your name so we know who it is.
Hello, hello.
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 Who's that?
Josh.
Oh, hey, Josh. All right. You want to send a, Dr. Eddie, I'll get started. Why don't you send a quick text reminder over to Jared and Chris. Who else is not on the line here?
Brittany.
Oh, Brittany, I think changed devices. She's here.
Yep.
And who else?
Hello.
Good morning. Are you there?
Yep.
All right. Cool. Somebody keeps coming in and out. I don't know if it's Dr. Josh.
Yeah.
Corey, you look like you're barely awake.
I'm awake. Just got some sleepy eyes this morning.
Still all recovering right from New Year's, huh?
No. I had a pretty chill New Year's. Just sometimes you hit that age where it's just like, yeah, I really don't feel like going out anymore, you know?
We were in bed by like 10:30, man.
Yeah. 11:30. So
totally. Dino probably burnt Chicago down, so.
All right, so let's get rolling here. And then Dr. Eddie on the Google Sheet, just note who attended today or who's in attendance today. All right, so Happy New Year, everybody. Start of the new year. Thanks for being on here. Appreciate that. We talked a lot about at the end of the year about setting goals, about reshaping or resetting our mindset, focus on growth personally and professionally. And that starts by taking new action. It starts by changing our mindset. Because if we think the same thoughts we had before, we get the same results. So if we don't take any different action, we get the same results. So the first step is taking time to invest in you. And this is a part of it, right? This group, us working together, us learning from each other is a part of that growth process. And it shows a level of commitment that you're really serious about growth. And again, it's not just the business side. You know, It's growing collectively as it relates to just becoming better people, better doctors, better communicators, more empathetic, more compassionate, and even maybe even more so, more committed to our purpose. And so how many of you have a clearly defined purpose? Like, you know why you, as Corey's up on the screen, why do you get up each day, right? Why do you get up each day? I mean, do you have a real why behind that? And I will say that unless you have that clearly defined purpose, it's easy on January 5th to get up and stay motivated. But what about February 5th, April 5th, November, right? So it's easy on the start to get to be motivated to pursue your goals. But what keeps you motivated? And that's the purpose, right? The purpose behind, why you became a chiropractor. And let's face it, I'll be honest with you, when I first started in practice, I didn't have a clearly defined purpose. My sole primary goal was to make money. I was in debt and, I had a baby and a family and I didn't have a house, I had a place to live. I didn't have a car. I mean, I was literally worth more dead than I was alive because I had a life insurance policy. So, it was that old, movie, It's a Wonderful Life. If I died, my family would have been better off financially. But the point being is that you got to make sure you have that purpose. So just by a show of hands, how many of you, and be honest, how many of you have a written purpose? Okay. So almost everybody. So Brittany, not calling you out, but if you haven't, I'll happy to work on one with you. Or even the better suggestion is go into our Facebook page, the Triple P Life Inner Circle Facebook page. Over to the right, and I could show you this before we get off the line. There is a list of all the virtual masterminds I did. And there's two masterminds I did in that group on how to define, clarify your purpose and mission. It's a really good one. But if you need some personal help, I'd be willing to do so. So, sound good? All right. So everyone had good holidays? Ready to roll, ready to crush 2021. 2020's behind you, both physically, emotionally, psychologically, right? It's all about the future. One of the things to bring into, one of the energies you should really focus and be present on moving into the new year is hope, right? Having hope for yourself, having hope for your practice that, nothing gets better until we get better. Okay, really anchored to that. Nothing gets better in our life till we get better, till we commit to getting better. So the other question I have is before we get into the material today is, how many of you have begun to, or is working on some time, investing some time each day on you, whether it's reading, meditating, visualizing, reading your goals, but just by a show of hands, how many have time set aside each day to do that? I don't care if it's 5 minutes, an hour. How many have time set aside to do that each day? Okay, good. Good, that's excellent. That's gonna be probably the most important tool you have that you'll look back at the end of this year and you'll go, man, if someone said to you or we said to you, hey, Corey, what do you think the biggest reason is why you've had so much success this year? And I guarantee you're going to look back and you're say, you know what? I finally committed to working on me. I was watching last night, the Reels channel had the causes behind the death of James Gandolfini. How many of you guys saw The Sopranos? One? Oh, God. If you guys want to invest some time in a series, The Sopranos, man, are just absolutely awesome. He was an incredible actor. Anyway, the whole point was at the end, they were trying to figure out why he died. He had an aortic aneurysm that burst. What it came down to, And this was pretty interesting. The medical examiner said James Gandolfini died at the age of 52 because he didn't love himself. He didn't love himself enough to invest in his own health. And I thought about that, and it's no different in our own growth and our own personal lives. When we don't love ourselves enough, we don't commit to these really important tools that we know that are beneficial and helpful to us. So the greatest act of self-love, guys, is eating right, working on your mindset, right, and working on yourself and your business. Really is, because the better you are, the more people we serve, the better results they get, the happier they are, the better they can interact with their spouses and families. So we play a significant role in the quality of other people's lives. And that's to me, from a purpose standpoint, there's nothing more powerful than that. When you get up each morning knowing that you can positively influence other people's lives. All right, I'll stop talking. Dr. Eddie, why don't you get into, take it from here.
Well, I want to just go through a little quick review. It is the first of the year. We're going to go through financials and a bunch of stuff you guys are probably chomping at the bit to get to, because I know this was like one of my favorite things to start learning. What's been the biggest win, I guess, for you guys since we've been working together for 6 months? Just really brief, because we don't have a whole lot of time to go through everybody in depth. But since we've spent some time together now for 5-6 months on and off, just give me one big win from each person. We don't have to go into detail. I want to like a 1 minute spiel tops. Let's start with Dr. Luke.
I think my biggest thing is, like for me, this is kind of like a second time through as far as working with Dr. J and stuff before. So for me, it's just a lot that's been helping with clarity and the process. And, you know, at first it's like drinking out of a fire hose. And now, like, I can piece it all together and see, like, apply it so much more effectively than I could before.
Cool. So. It's like whenever you, I don't know if you played sports. I know a lot of people in here did. Whenever you learn the playbook, the plays seem to slow down.
Yeah, super clunky.
When you first start playing at a different level, everything's so fast. So that's really cool. What about you, Dr. Dino?
Dr. Eddie, before you stop, before you go over to Dr. Dino, that's an awesome takeaway, Luke. And Eddie, that's a great analogy. So here's the thing, right? It's the difference between being thought through and thinking. And that's why you have to consistently immerse yourself, because eventually it clicks and you own it and you don't have to think about it anymore. It just becomes a part of you. And that's when the shift is permanent. Great. That's a great point.
Actually, before we shift as well, Dr. Luke, we're going to add one thing, because as we start to build this thing out, we want to know what you guys want to focus on and not us just focusing on what we think is important, right? So maybe the one thing, the big thing you really want us to cover as we go into the new year here.
I'd have to think about it, but yeah. I don't know. It's same thing.
Get back to me. Yep.
Yep.
But yeah. So basically kind of piggyback off of Luke, but say almost the exact same thing. It's just, it was almost kind of like information overload at first. And it was like kind of like doing my ROFs. I remember I was sitting there like the very first time and like I was kind of stumbling over myself because I was trying to think of what to say rather than just kind of going out, like actually doing it. It just took a while to get there. But yeah, kind of almost exactly what you were saying, just like the playbook. It's the first time it felt like it was going so fast and I couldn't catch my own breath, like trying to explain to the patient. And then after that, it just kind of came natural.
Right. Cool. You started owning it, right?
Yeah.
And what's one thing that you want us to focus on or this important to you as we go forward here?
Patient retention and, patient retention.
Cool. I like that. Let's go just Dr. Dustin.
For me, it would be just being more aware and organized as far as knowing my numbers, like keeping track of my patient visits, collections, the OVA, and just being more aware of where I'm at instead of just going every month to month, not really knowing where I'm at. So focusing on that more. And then I think for something that I'd like to focus on would just be getting more new patients in the door.
Very cool. Brittany, Dr. Brittany.
I like just hearing experience from other docs, like kind of what they were going through, and then like, I don't know, giving like suggestions of what to do differently. I don't know, we kind of talked about that like last week and stuff, more of like conversation. So that was nice. And then I guess in general, just, I don't really know. I guess like they said, retention, I'm still like building my patient base to begin with. So just kind of anything to learn would be, I mean, helpful for me right now.
So did you get a lot out of our last chat?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Cool. Good. Let's go, Dr. Jared.
So mine would be kind of piggybacking after Dr. Luke. You know, it was my second time through the process. And like you said, it was a lot to handle that first time through. So it kind of helped to make it so it was more clear as far as the process. And even though I had, by the time I started jumping on these calls, I had already set my process and I felt pretty confident with it. It showed me things that I was leaving out, even though I'd been taught them the first time around. So I was able to incorporate those back in. Besides that, the personal growth side of things has been a lot more helpful on these calls, as far as, you know, being able to take myself out of the way and realizing it's not about me, it's about my patients. And so that's really helped. As far as learning here, just ready to, you know, re-dive into those financials and generate a better sense of confidence going into there.
Awesome, man. We see it. So we're sensing a theme here, right? Dr. Corey, how about you?
Definitely running through everything for a second time around. I mean, practice makes perfect. Well, not practice makes perfect, but perfect practice makes perfect. So just getting that second wave of like a refresher. And then also stuff that you and I have talked about, Dr. Eddie, like table topics for one. That's super beneficial. Just having a certain topic to talk about on a certain visit with a patient instead of like talking about the same old thing every single time. And then also just like the simple asking for a referral, like it's really easy to do. You know, they may take the card and throw it in the trash on their way out, or they may give it to somebody, you know, but they have the dang card in their hand when they're walking out. So I feel, you know, that's one of the more beneficial things that I've learned here that I wasn't implementing before.
That's awesome, man. The easiest way to grow your practice is from inside of your practice with your practice members. You do a great job. You serve big time. You give them the results that you talked about. They're going to send people in. We just got to ask sometimes. So that's awesome, man. Dr. Josh, I can't see your pretty face this morning.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I got everything working now. Perfect. My biggest thing.
Sorry. Double back here. Dr. Corey, you didn't give anything that you want to focus on for the year.
Ooh. I mean, there's a lot that I want to focus on.
If I had a magic wand and we could do it right now, which one would it be?
I'm going to just kind of narrow it down to two things, more of a social media presence and meeting new people out in the community.
Some networking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Dr. Josh.
All right. I would say that my biggest win is just my freedom and my ability to talk to my patients on day one and to be confident in what I'm talking about and how I'm saying it. And then my biggest thing that I think that I'd like to work on is getting more new patients and driving more new patients in, because I feel the system you guys have helped create is going to allow me to keep that with retention.
Awesome.
So Josh, I have a quick question.
Yep.
So you being in North Dakota, are things different there? I mean, are they still having external events, gatherings, you know, and so many of the other states, you can't have much of a gathering. Like, can more of the traditional type of marketing, the network marketing, is that still available to you?
No, it's still pretty hand. Business is still pretty tight, not allowing other types of things in.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay. So I have listed here, guys, as future topics, patient retention, which is high on our list. to start with or to move from after financials, increase in new patients, referrals, personal growth. One thing none of you mentioned, but you all said it, was how to communicate more effectively, social media networking. Anything else? Luke, did you come up with anything different?
Nothing off those topics. I mean, those are all the main ones for me too.
Okay.
And you notice these are the main sticking points for any practice. The things that we're teaching you, and you just, whenever, as we start to layer this on, please revisit this stuff. Like Dr. Jared was saying, we've all been through this at some point. You're going to start getting lazy in other areas because you're already focusing over here. So make sure you take that time and you really revisit some of the things that we've been doing and we've been talking about that have been bringing you success, so that we continue this momentum that we're going to go and just crush this year. We work with a lot of people, and the biggest mistake they make is they're focusing on today's stuff, but then they start forgetting, you know, day one, day two, those very, 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 very important touch points. So just make sure we're revisiting this stuff on a really regular basis. And role play. You know, a lot of you guys have other doctors obviously with you, just role play or with staff. So anything else you want to do, Dr. J, before we jump in? Because this is, I love this. This is like my favorite topic.
Yeah, I do. Real quick. For those of you, I've started off this year on the podcast discussing things that become obstacles for us achieving our goals. And I've picked a different topic each week, and I've talked about how to identify when you see yourself, right, facing these obstacles, because I faced them all, right? I've dealt with them all, and there's quite a few of them. And I would really encourage you to go listen, starting this week, to the podcasts. And they're short, they're 25 minutes to 30 minutes, about these most common obstacles, because you're going to face them. At some point, if you haven't faced them already, you're going to face them. So how do I identify them, and how do I get through them? One of the biggest ones, I'm going to talk about this in a future episode, is the human condition is, once we start to experience some success, is we take our foot off the gas, right? We start to feel ourselves, right? We want some acknowledgement, which is good, and we should celebrate our victories when we achieve our goals. But one of the things I've dealt with as a consultant for 15 years and having in associates for 30 years is, you know, when you start to see results and get results, the natural inclination is to back off and to stop doing the things that got you to the point to achieving some success. Success is about consistency. It's doing the same things over and over. It's the fundamental. I mean, all you guys have played sports at some point in your life. I know you have. And the most successful athletes are the ones who stick to the fundamentals and master those fundamentals and continue to refine those fundamentals. So celebrate your victories. Never get full of yourself, because that's ego. When ego steps in, the heart steps out. And the heart is what makes a successful chiropractor. And always, always stay grounded in the fundamentals. Your day one, two, three, your communication, all the stuff we're teaching you. I'm good, Eddie. Go ahead.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I used to have that happen to me all the time. I'd hit a record month and I'd go, oh, I could just put the foot on the brake a little bit and coast. There's no such thing as coasting. You're either going forward perpetually or backwards perpetually. So let's keep the forward, right? So I want you all to write this down. So we're going to go through financials. This is talking about patient retention. This is a great place to start your patient retention, because if we get them on a care plan and we get them the results because they're committed, they will stick around, they will get better, and they will refer people. I want you to care plan based on a patient's potential, not to heal a diagnosis. Somebody said this to me, oh my God, probably 5-6 years ago at a conference, and it really resonated with me. Because if we got Jane coming in and we got this one coming in and we got this one coming in, but all of them tend to have the same care plan, that doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Probably not, because all of them have a different potential. So what I mean by potential, where are they at in their overall health, right? Are they exercising? Are they eating well? How's their mental health? Are they on a bunch of prescription drugs? Are they doing any recreational drugs? Because we know that as we take these, so if we aren't eating good and we aren't exercising well and we're a very negative person or in a bad situation, these are all things that are going to limit our ability to heal because we know what the cortisol, inflammation, et cetera, is going to do. So really, when you're doing your OT, ROT, take all these things into account. So then when you present this care plan, you have these things to say, hey, Miss Jane, based on the lifestyle factors that we discussed, bang, 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 this is why I'm anticipating it's going to take us this long to get us where we need to be. Does that make sense? This is one of the biggest things you can take away from today. The funny thing is we don't, sometimes we get in a rut of, hey, we want to do a 36 visit plan or whatever you guys are doing. You have this go-to care plan because you know it's going to be highly accepted. We need to get away from what's highly accepted so much as, yes, we want to get them started for care, but we don't want to undersell them the care that they need and we know they need based on these lifestyle factors. Because if you got somebody that's on 20 medications and they're not exercising and are morbidly obese, they're not going to respond as quickly unless we're going to have that in more in-depth conversation of you need to lose some weight. This is how we want to do that, like really set those goals up. So this is going to be a lifelong patient because now you're, like he said earlier, now you're speaking with your heart and you're not speaking with what am I going to get financially out of this? Please take the finance. A lot of people don't want to talk about financial plans. I remember when Dr. Jared and I really started digging into this, it's kind of a scary topic. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's some chiropractors wouldn't pay for the care. I don't know. Dr. J might have a better insight. I can't put my finger on it. I've been doing this for years now, or maybe it's just a poverty mindset. But remember, it's not about the money. It's about the patient at the end of the day. Right. So whenever you need to pre-frame, whenever we're going to go into financials at the next visit, are you guys doing it day three with the financials? Or are you guys doing it on ROT?
ROT.
I heard that. So day two. So I highly encourage you to get away from doing it the ROT because like everybody just kind of said, it's system overload initially. We're getting overwhelmed with information. We're getting overwhelmed with facts and where we're at and we're a little scared, a little anxious, everyone is. So you need to pre-frame this to day three. You're going to have a much better success rate. So you're going to say, hey, Miss Jane, I want to make sure this is as easy as transition as possible. I'm going to go through a financial plan with you at your next visit of anything that may not be covered by your insurance. Why I'm going to do this is because I don't want the finance to be the reason you don't get well. This is a line you guys all need to be repeating. Dr. Jared has heard me say this probably a million times because now they understand that, oh, okay, he's got me covered. We're going to have many different options based on virtually every budget to make sure that the finance is not the reason you don't get well here. So now they already know that, okay, I can pump the brakes a little bit. He's going to make this affordable. You chose to do corrective care. Let's just use this one for example. And we discussed what that means at your last visit or at this visit. Are you aware of what that means? Yes. So now corrective care is going to be a little bit different care plan than obviously Band-Aid care. I wouldn't go too far into that, but they should already know this because you've already pre-framed them enough, right? So that ROT is leading you right into the financials. Most times when I finish a financial, if you've done it right, or a ROT, if you've done it right, they are asking for the financial that day. Do not do it that day. I don't even know what the percentages were. I used to do it day two. The percentages were much lower of closes than day three because now they have time to digest information. And if you guys do some kind of video, what I do is we have an online video. You guys are welcome to check it out. You can go right to our website and I give them a card with a link. And I say, hey, Miss Jane, you chose to do corrective care. I want you to watch this video. And basically the video is chiropractic in a nutshell, thoughts, traumas, toxins, the whole story that we all know that the patients don't. But to really get a better background of what we're about to do here and how this is unique and different. So when we talk next time, you're fully aware. What I've found is that patients that watch this video, I say this to them, the patients that watch this video not only get better quicker, but they stay that way. And that's what you want, right, Miss Jane? Of course. So then they're going to have already have this background information that you don't have to spend an extra, you know, 30, 45 minutes in a room preaching the chiropractic to them. Sound good? Questions so far? I'm going fast because I love this stuff. We're good so far. Cool. Dr. J, anything to add?
No, I'm going to post the link to the website in the chat box. And if you haven't already put your cell phone number in the chat box with your name, please do so.
Okay, so now let's get to day three. So they sit in your chair, you come in, everything's already prepared. Okay, so Dr. Jared, I'm going to call you out a little bit. So whenever he first got started, and I did this too initially, and I'm sure many of you in this room have done that, is you go in with two different plans. One you think they're going to sign and one that they need. Is that a smart place to start? No. Take the one you think they're going to sign, you crumble it up, and you throw it in a trash can. The one that they need is the one that you're going to be able to present because you know they need this. Take yourself out of the equation. Again, like Dr. Jared said, it's not about you. It's about the patient. It's not about the money. It's about their health. If you don't sell them health today, what else are they going to do? They may go get some drugs. They may go have a surgery they don't necessarily need. They may have, they're going to go down the street and go to some supplement company and try to take the next curing drug, whatever, or supplement, whatever that might be that somebody developed in their basement and put it on Amazon or whatnot, you know? So really focus on doing the care plan they need, right? So we've already talked about potential. So we're going to kind of go through the script here. I'm going to send you guys a link of what that looks like. But just for the sake of kind of hearing it, you know, makes it a little easier. I always do an icebreaker when I come into the room. I say, hey, Miss Jane, let's talk about money. Let's get this out of the way. I hate talking about it, but we got to get this out of the way so we can focus on health. Or I know Dr. J used to use, oh, sometimes I feel like a car salesman when I talk about this kind of thing. Like whatever you got to do that fits your personality. Because money's it's a funny thing for all of us to talk about when it comes to bigger sums of money. Whatever you can do to kind of lower their anxiety level initially is going to obviously be beneficial. So I told you at your last visit, I didn't want the finance to be the reason that you don't get the care you need. So I put together a plan that we had talked about to maximize the body function and obviously accelerate the healing process for you. So I'm just going to do like a standard one, right? So what I'm anticipating is 40 visits over the next 6 months. Do you guys all have sheets for this that you're doing your care plans on? Everybody good there? Okay.
Dr. Eddie, could you send a copy?
Sure. And what I would like to do too is see how you guys are using your sheets. I can send a copy, but I'd be kind of interested to see how everybody's kind of dicing it up. So if you guys can take a picture even on your phone when you're in the office and send it to me, I'd want to see that. So going over 40 visits over the next 6 months to get you through the acute care and into restorative or corrective or whatever you say, more into wellness, because your goal was not only to get better, but to maintain that at some level, right? Right. If they just want a Band-Aid care, you present them the Band-Aid care. And if you do your job after, you know, 12, 24 visits, they're going to stick around anyway. So the main thing is tell them what they need. But if they choose to do a different thing that you suggest, we're not kicking them out the door. We still want them to get better. And we know this is the best place for them to do that. So you have that conversation on RLT, like we've talked about, and let them choose. Let's see. Re-exam will be every 12 visits, 30 days, whatever you guys do there, 24, whatever your programming is, and you tell them what that consists of, right? So as you go through this hit list, so 40, I should have put one on the computer so you guys can see mine. So 40 visits over the next, oh, there we go right there. You can't really see it, but you kind of get an idea. So 40 visits over the next 6 months, just move it over to the side a little bit so they can see the bottom. Yeah, so that where it's chiropractic adjustments, re-exams. Can you guys see that? Don't worry, I'll send you a copy. So what it is, chiropractic adjustments, re-evaluations every 12 visits, 30 days. You guys just stick to what you guys do. What that consists of, Ms. Jane, is we want to retest and remeasure and reevaluate where we are based on where we were to make sure we're making the progress we need. Because if for whatever reason we're not getting the progress that we need based on objective data, this is going to be the time to pivot, and we'd rather pivot earlier rather than later. I always say that because then they know that, hey, this care plan could change based on how I'm doing with this. And I'm not stuck to this same thing each time I come in. And you tell them what it measures. So if you do a nerve scan, So, hey, Miss Jane, remember you can only feel 10% of a nerve. We're going to go ahead and retest everything else to make sure objectively we're getting the result that we want. And if you do range of motion or I think Dr. Josh, you did some muscle testing or stuff like that. So you just tell them why you're redoing that and what that's going to show you and how that could potentially alter where they're going to go next. If you guys are, anybody doing Pettibon, like SRT stuff yet? No? Okay, so it's going to be a little different. So I guess we can bypass that. Because we retest and re-x-ray at certain intervals, obviously to make sure that we're getting the curve correction that we need. If you guys got therapies, add the therapies to the care plan. So if you guys are doing, if it's discogenic low back pain or mild herniation or whatever it is, add the decompression tables and tell them what the research says whenever you go through this stuff, if you haven't already. So you say, hey, Miss Jane, obviously we talked about the disc problem that we're having. 97% effective using the tables that we use at rehydrating a disc. You don't get that in healthcare anywhere, right? Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to add these 20 tables in to the front of your care plan to make sure we rehydrate and stabilize the spine to make sure that we start to obviously get you out of pain, but get everything fixed for the long term as well. E-stim, laser, home therapy kits, whatever you guys do, label them and then go through them. What does laser do? What does E-stim do? Why do we only need 6, 12, 24 to make this really easy for the patient to understand why we're doing the things we're doing? As you get to the bottom here. So I don't know where Dr. Jared, he just turned his thing off. So if you go, there's a paid in full option. They should have different options because you told them they were going to have options and everybody needs them, right? Because not everybody's going to be able to pay in full. So if you see the top one says paid in full today, you're going to get a certain percentage off. The red's going to be the savings the patient's going to get. Always put the savings in red because they're going to see this first. That's where their eyes are going to be drawn to. And then either highlight, underscore, circle with your pen, whatever you got to do, the total investment that's going to come with each one. So what I say, you're good, Dr. Jared. So I say, hey, Miss Jane, most people choose to pay this in full because they're going to save the most money throughout your care here. This is what that looks like. You're going to save this amount of money and you're going to be your total investment for your health is going to be this. Never say dollars. Try to avoid anything that's just going to turn people off or it doesn't feel right to say. Option number two is going to be a monthly option. And I always say at this point, Miss Jane, I don't care which way you go with this. This is what you need to do based on our goals to get well and stay that way. So monthly option, you're going to save this amount of money. Your total investment for your health is going to be this, and this is how it's going to break down. You can choose either we do a 6-month option or a 12-month option. If it's a 6-month care plan, I always say if we're basing this on 6 months, I prefer you not to do the 12-month option based on the care plan that we've said is only going to be a 6-month care plan. So I would circle that 6-month care plan option. But if we can only the patient's going to start speaking to you now. If they can literally only do this amount over here for the 12 month, but it's going to carry them through the six, do it. It's very rare. If you've done this right, day one, day two, and the way you're going through your day threes, are they going to actually choose that option? I mean, I'm probably 90% paid in full and then 6 months, the rest of the 10. So if you really, really got this stuff dialed in, and we're going to go through this obviously a little bit deeper in a sec. Anything you want to add, Dr. J?
No, sounds good. I'll cover something when you're done.
Okay. So total investment of blank. And then you do this, just like we do on the console. You drop your pen and you say, what looks like it's going to fit your budget the best, Miss Jane? And you do just like this. You don't say anything. The person that speaks first loses. And a lot of time, Dr. J, I'm going to call you out again. He would do this. Well, most of us would do this. I've done this too when I first got going, is you start talking initially because that dead silence makes you nervous or anxious for whatever reason, because we're talking about money. Money's not a bad thing. Money is a great thing. And we need this exchange for services because they need you, right? So drop your pen and don't say a word. And then they're going to either say, all right, Doc, I'm going to pay it in full today. Where do I sign? Or they're going to say, all right, I'm going to do the 6-month plan. Where do I sign? And I always give them a high five and I say, great decision. Now let's get this thing done. And I circle it, I sign it, they sign it. You walk them up to the front and you say, whoever your support, I mean, obviously not in front of the whole lobby, but you go up to the support staff that they're coming to at the window and you say, hey, Miss Jane chose option one for her care with us here. What a great investment for her health. We can't wait to get her well, isn't that right? And I fist bump the staff just so they know that we're excited that they're part of our team now and a part of our family, but we got their health in our hands basically, right? And this is how they want to pay for it. And this is what their schedule is for the next 2 weeks. So you walk them up, they've committed to pay in full for whatever that dollar amount is. You're up there with your staff and you're going to tell them what this is going to look like. Decompressions, spinal rehab, lasers. We're going to do this 6 visits over the next 2 weeks. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, preferably. If that doesn't work in their schedule, we can do a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever. You guys figure that the rest of it out. Good job. Great decision for your health. And then you move on. Questions to this point? I honestly hate feeling like I got diarrhea at the mouth when I'm going through this. So if you guys want to get a little engaged, that would be great. Is this different than anybody's doing now? Yeah.
Yes.
So in what way, Brittany?
We don't cover financials. The office manager does.
Okay. And that's fine. We used to do that too. I just find that the patients, we've already built a rapport, and so it works for us. So if it's working for you guys, that's awesome. I just like doing it myself because I feel like I'm the best at it. Anybody else? No, Dr. Dustin, is this pretty similar to what you guys are doing?
Yes, it is. Just like Brittany said, we also have our insurance lady do it. She goes in and does a financial on the third day, but we're not. She doesn't. I feel like we could do better at her clarifying what options they're picking, because like sure. I won't find out until after, you know, potentially after I adjust them that third, you know, the third day.
Sure.
So I think you know, like you said, celebrating whatever option they pick, and then maybe have her come out and let me know, or maybe let me kind of do that handoff after they pick their financial plan. Then maybe I can take them up front and schedule their visits so I kind of know exactly what they chose.
Are you seeing what percentage is getting closed by your financial person?
No, we did a good job in the beginning at communicating kind of, you know, what options they were picking, but that's kind of fell off the last few months.
No, I mean, as far as like retention. So if you have somebody, they're going through their financial, what's the odds of them just discontinuing care?
Yeah, we don't, I'm not sure of those numbers.
Go ahead, Dr. Jeff.
Yeah, let me jump in here. So a couple things. If you have, there's no right or wrong answer to this. You could close the financials, or I have clinics that have incredible staff that are way better at sales than the docs. So I don't care who's the best at sales, just make sure who's ever best at closing the financial, that's the person that should be doing it, number one. Number two, that system should be so rock solid, right? Rehearsed and practiced over and over that everyone knows what their role and responsibility is and knows what the outcome is. Number three, know your statistics, right? And so this week's takeaways, you got to know your numbers. So at the end of the week, Dustin, you should meet, and all you guys should meet with your account manager and review how many cases were presented. Okay. How many cases were accepted? So if 10 cases were presented and 4 people accepted, and that's your prevailing number moving forward, the system doesn't work. It's got to be improved. So if you don't know your numbers, you don't know if it's working or not, right? You're just kind of guessing, you're winging it a little bit or a lot of bit. Okay. And I would agree with this part with what you said, Dustin, is the doctor needs to get the commitment, and then the staff can present the financials. You don't have to in your practice. If your staff member is better at closing the financial plan, you don't have to present it, but the doctor has to get the commitment, because it's the commitment between you and them, not between you and your staff member. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
So I'll go over with you a little, a few more different details. I actually have an outline for day three that we'll send in the email. But Dr. Eddie, continue.
No, go ahead. Well, go through, because this is a lot, man. Just go through what you would have done different or what you would have said differently up to this point, and then we can keep going.
Okay, so let me share my screen with you here. Okay. So your financial consult form, if you're presenting, needs to be completed, obviously, before you present the plan. So this is done between day two and day three. So at the end of day two, you need to have a few things. Number one is you need to have a commitment from the patient of what their healthcare goal is, right? So if you remember the ROT day two, I believe it's section 7, you ask the golden question. Dustin, do you remember what the golden question is? Anybody remember what the golden question is? Just jump in. Okay, so this concerns me, because if you're not asking the golden question, you're not going to get the result you want.
Isn't it based on the conversations? One question,
sorry, yeah, go ahead, Luke. Go for it.
Well, I was going to say, isn't it, based on the ROT and conversations we had, basically direction of care seems to fit you and the health goals that you want to accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably like 80% right. Yeah. So based on the options I presented, right? So I go over the options of care. Remember, guys, so that's 6, the 3 options of care, consequences and benefit. Based on the options of care I just presented, and based on your current and future health, like, this is the one question you need to ask verbatim. Because I've tried all other ways, and this is the most effective way I've found. Right, based on your current and future healthcare goals, which of those options make the most sense for you? And then they select. So now you've got a commitment, option 1, 2, or 3. Now you know what care plan to build, right? So between day 2 and day 3, you build that care plan before the patient comes back based on your recommendation, your services, the number of visits. And this is the art of chiropractic, guys. We know there's an art, science, and philosophy. The art is, as a doctor, as a clinician, you make the determination of what you think it's going to take. It's not what I say or Eddie says, right? We have our model. So when we look at a patient, we do an evaluation, we see their films, if they're phase 2 of degeneration and they're 50 years old, we know it's going to take roughly 4 dozen visits, roughly. So that's kind of our anchor. Okay, so you've got to come up with yours, and we can work on that. By the way, this is one of the biggest obstacles I see with chiros, because of the uncertainty. I don't know how many visits to recommend. How many have an issue with that? Be honest. Okay, so a few of you do, for sure. So we need to put that on the list. How do you determine a care plan? And we'll work you through that. Okay, so we get to day 3. Number one is we review the established goals from day 2. So Luke, yesterday we discussed the options of care, and you stated to me that option 2 is where you want to go based on your current and future healthcare goals. You want to get this problem resolved. Is that still your goal? And that's how you got to start off day 3. Because if their goal has changed, or if now they have doubt because they went home and the spouse is like, what? You're crazy. Because I'm going to tell them at the end of day 2, I'm going to give them some idea of what the expectation is. I'm going to say, look, based on option number 2, we're probably looking at a few dozen visits over the next 5 to 6 months. So they're going to go home. Which, by the way, then I follow up the 2 main reasons why people don't follow through with their care plan. See, I address and hit every single one of these. You've got to handle these objections, because if you don't, an objection that goes unresolved becomes a truth. So it's time. I don't have time to come in here three times a week for 6 months, whatever, right? And then it's money. Money's always the biggest one. But as Dr. Eddie said, we say to them, look, Luke, if you're really committed to getting well, we'll figure out a payment option that's effective for you, that works for you. We have multiple payment options for virtually every budget. You have to say that. That's the second statement you have to say verbatim. Luke, we have multiple payment options for virtually every budget. You're going to take their anxiety of the finances from an 8 to a 4. It's not going to go away, but you're going to diminish it. Why? Because we want them to come back. If their anxiety stays in 8, your conversions from day 2 to day 3 is going to diminish. Why? They're going to go home. They're going to talk to their spouse. 4 dozen adjustments. This is going to cost us $1 million. You're not going back there. Those guys are nuts. But then she can go back, or you can go back, and you could say, they said it'll work for virtually, they have payment option for virtually every budget. If I really want to get well, they'll work with me. Okay, go back and look, check it out, right? Does that make sense? Those are critical on the conversion side. The
only way you're going to
now,
get
if they haven't
understand that though, is knowing, is doing your ROT properly to know what that even
means. Yes. Every step in this process is to get you to the close of the sale. Day 1 and day 2, each step is to bring you to this ultimate conclusion. And if you leave steps out, the likelihood of conversion, every step you leave out diminishes your conversion rate. Guys, before I started doing this, we were doing plans and I sucked at it. I closed less than 50% of the cases. And being a freaking perfectionist and being someone who is frustrated beyond all compare, I completely blew it up and rebuilt the whole process. And I practiced it and I started to apply it. And I saw what worked, what didn't work. And then I dialed in and I got this process that is just, so I went from under 50 to nearly 90% close. And Eddie's probably even a little better at it than I am. Right? How would you like to have a 90% close rate? Cash plans, guys. This should motivate the shit out of you.
It's fun. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it's a challenge. And it's not, and I've got to cover this before we get off, because I thought of this as Dr. Eddie was talking. I have to do this, but it's a challenge. It is kind of fun if it's a game. But again, keep the big picture in mind. Like I started when we first got on the line. What's your purpose? If your purpose is to help people, you should work your ass off to perfect this process. Because the more people you close, guess what? The more people you help. And the more people you help, the more lives you change. And the more lives you change, the more those people refer their friends and family. And the happier and the more joy there is in the practice. It's more fun. Finance has never become an issue.
Let me just jump here for a second, because I just had a call from a guy the other day. So whenever you, a lot of people are like, oh, well, I don't want to do a financial because they're just paying every visit. Think about you being a patient. Would you want to pay every time you came in the door, $50 or $100 or whatever that is? Of course not.
No.
Because it just gets old after a while. If you're coming in 3 days a week and I'm giving you $100 every time I come in here, that's going to get old really quick. So we want to take that whole thing out of the equation.
And Eddie, that's an old, when I say an old practice model, guys, at least a decade old. It's a really old, outdated practice model. Think of yourselves. How many of your monthly bills are on auto debit? Auto insurance, car payment, maybe student loans, your telephone bill, like your cell phone bill. How many? Like almost all of them?
All of them.
People are conditioned for auto debit, whether it's a credit card or through their bank account. So you're only doing with what they've already accepted of how they run their finances. Eddie's 100% correct. A fee for service, even if you're getting great results and they love you, gets exhausting. They're just not going to do it. So review the goals. So when I ask that question, review and establish the goals from the previous, right? If they're like, yeah, doc, I'm ready to go. You know you are. You get right into the financial. They're like, well, yeah, I kind of think so. If you sense any hesitancy, then they're already thinking and might have changed their mind. You've got to find out why. And it could be the spouse has been chirping in their ear.
Or maybe they had a big catastrophe. I just had one of these 2 weeks ago. I'm going to just share a personal experience. $3,800 care plan, all in. He's got Parkinson's. He found out 2 days before his follow-up that he had a brain tumor.
Oh, my.
Changes things a little bit, right? And he says, well, doc, maybe I shouldn't do this until I figure out exactly what I'm going to need to do for that. And I said, what? I was like, look, Bob, you're going to be a lot better off if we get you structurally sound and your nervous system function at a higher capacity. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. And so I relayed to him why it would be important that he continue some level of care to make sure that he doesn't continue to go backwards, especially internally. And did he sign the whole care plan? No, but I think he ended up doing half of it.
But Eddie,
we don't know if he's going to have a surgery in 3 months, you know? So you're going to run into these things. They're few and far between. It's probably the first one I've had like that in years, but you just got to be prepared. And that's why you got to open it up for them to have that conversation. Because if I wouldn't have had the conversation, he would have discontinued care altogether.
But Eddie, that gets back to the third leg of this art, science, and philosophy, right? Your philosophy is his body is better off without neurological interference than it is with it. And to give him every opportunity to heal and to maybe beat this cancer, or whether it's cancerous or not, he's better off getting his neurological system functioning at its highest capacity. Like, if that's not your belief system, there's no way you can confront that.
Right.
But that's what I believe. I believe everyone's better off free of neurological interference. So I don't care what they have going on. They're better off being in our office. That's my belief. Whether it's colic, digestive issues, you know, brain tumors, whatever the case may be. Okay, so we're getting close to finishing here. Let me just handle number two. So if they are hesitant, you're sensing, right? And how can you sense? You got to read their body language. Do they, you know, move around their chair? Do they cross their arms? They go, well, yeah, kind of. You got to handle it. So here's the question you ask. Write this down. Luke, I'm sensing perhaps maybe your goals have changed. Is that correct? See, you put it back on them. Even how I frame that question, it's not about me, it's about them. I'm sensing your goals might have changed. Here's what I always hear, typically. No, doc, not at all. I'm just really concerned about the finances. And then I remind them, just like you had to hear the chiropractic story a million times before it hits you, the chiropractic is more than back pain and headaches. Luke, remember I mentioned to you, if you're really committed to getting well, we'll figure something out financially to help you to get the results you want. You got to diminish the anxiety. Now you continue to proceed. We'll go over the rest of this. Dr. Eddie will send this to you in the email. All right, here's what I need to cover with you guys, because this is so important, and I apologize for not thinking of this sooner. Every one of you has a belief system tied to money. I did, everyone does, okay? And your belief system creates an energy, either positive or negative. Dr. Eddie, in the meantime, you can get those numbers for the chat line or for our text group. So here's what you need to know and understand, guys. What is your belief system behind money? Do you believe money is for good or bad? Do you believe that money is limited, finite, restrictive, or money is infinite and simply an acknowledgement of value? And that the more value you create, the more money flows to you. Do you believe that money is a mere source of abundance from an abundant universe? Or do you believe money is evil and that people who have it have done something nefarious or unethical to gain their money? You see, whatever your belief is what your life reflects. If you lack money or lacking money and have lacked money, the first thing you need to check is your belief system. See, until you identify your beliefs, you can't overcome your ability to attract money into your life. And there's no way you can become really good at sales. And early on, I just thought it was getting better and better at the sales process. And I never worked on my belief system about money. Until, guys, until I read this book. I showed it to you before. And I'm reading it again this year. So I don't know how many years now I've read this. It changed my life around abundance and money. I just want to read something to you. Humble me a second. So this is Catherine Ponder. This is the first law of the 18 laws of dynamic prosperity. And she says, perhaps one of the greatest shocks I ever received was the one that became apparent when I began lecturing on prosperity. I soon realized that many of the people attending the lectures were still trying to resolve the old conflict of whether they should be and desire to be prosperous. Of course, they wanted prosperity. Every normal person does. But they appeared to secretly wonder whether they should seek it or not, especially from a spiritual standpoint. I grew up in a Catholic church, all about guilt, right? It was about poverty mindset. I was first taught about poverty in religion, in church. Okay, let me continue. Let me find my spot. Most of the business people attending the lectures seemed to feel guilty about wanting to be prosperous, though of course they were working hard every day in their jobs to become prosperous. And I know each and every one of you are doing the same. But if you got guilt tied around money, you could work your ass off forever and never attract it to you. This is one of the cases where working harder doesn't mean jack shit. You've got to change your belief system and energy around money. The question obviously was still in their minds whether poverty was a spiritual virtue or a commons vice. That conflict in their thinking was setting up a conflict result in their affairs. It's exactly what I just said, which neutralized their efforts to succeed no matter how hard and how much effort they put forward. She says right here on page 12, poverty is a sin. And on 13, prosperity is your divine heritage. Now, I don't give a crap whether you're spiritual, religious, or not. If you believe that there is universal law that governs humankind, right? What causes the sun to rise in the east and set in the west? What controls the tides? What controls the season? If you think it's random, don't waste your freaking time. Don't buy this. It's a waste of your time. If you believe that there's a higher source energy and universal law that governs humankind, this book will change your life. Whether you think it's universal or spiritual or God, I really don't care. It doesn't really matter. To me, it's all the same. If you want to change your viewpoint, buy this book and spend each. So I did this last year. I would read one of the spiritual laws and I would meditate on it each day. And I did it for 3 months. So 18 days, right? Whatever it was, do the math, right? So I went through it three or four times. I'm still doing it. So what I'm saying is, wrapping up here, we're going to give you the tool and skill to be an effective sales for chiropractic plants. But until you master your mindset and belief around money, it doesn't matter. So it's a dual attention. So how many here want to be more prosperous? Okay. It's universal. Then show the commitment, purchase the book. I think it's like $16 on Amazon. And invest in you and how you view abundance and prosperity. And by the way, every aspect of prosperity changes. your health, your relationships, the opportunities you attract to you, all come from when you change your mindset. Dr. Eddie, you want to add anything to that?
Funny you said that, because I was reading that book at 5 o'clock this morning. So I love this book. I think it's a huge one. Another good book. I actually just started, How to Make Shit Happen. This is really cool. I started reading this one the other day. So I keep
like, who's that? So put that in the takeaways in the email.
Easy read. Look how little I like these ones. It's pretty cool, pretty aggressive. I'm a blunt guy, so it really speaks and resonates with me. But really cool stuff. But just let's make this year the best year, guys. You got the goals are set up. I'm going to send 2 emails out about some readjusting of goals that I've gotten from you guys that we need to just touch base quick. But everything looks good. Now let's just put into action. But like Dr. J was saying, our lives and our businesses and our families are a direct reflection of us. So let's take the time, energy, and effort and really put that into us, because if our patients deserve that time, energy, and effort, we deserve to become the best we can be so we can serve them at a bigger rate. So just really take that time, make it into your day, make it a habit, and watch your life change over the next 12 months, which is going to be awesome, right?
Yeah. Can I leave you with one other thought, guys? The best way to understand this stuff is to teach it. So when you purchase the book and you start to go through these dynamic laws, my suggestion to you is at a staff meeting, take one and go through it with your staff. Your staff is struggling with this as well too. And imagine if you can increase the prosperity consciousness of every person in your office, how much more prosperity that's going to attract. Because there's people who are handling money in your office who have prosperity issues, who have financial issues. So be a leader and teach what you're learning. You don't have to be an expert at it. Just do what I did. Take a passage out of it, read it to them, and watch what happens. So thanks for being on here today. Love and appreciate every one of you. We are truly going to make this year exceptional for you as long as you're willing to put the work and make the commitment. So be here every 2 weeks. We're going to be here. So you guys, right? Block it out. Put it in your phones. Set the alert so no one needs to tell you what day it is. Take a little responsibility, and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Any thoughts or comments? Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is I've got a big year planned in my life, and so I'm excited to be here with you guys. And I appreciate all of you and Dr. J and Dr. Eddie. Thanks for taking the time to get this going and get me enthused even more so than what I am already. So thank you.
Thank you. Awesome. Keep crushing it, bro.
Yeah. And that's a great reason why.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is it.
Yep.
He's a beauty.
You guys have a great week.
All right. Thanks. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
See you guys.